And all that will go towards our building fund. And I believe we can put a big plug on there if you'll get behind that. And if for any reason you don't believe in guns, then don't sell them. Or you can sell them because somebody else believes in them. I believe in them. I'll buy a couple. That will raffle will be will take place the day of the Chinese auction. So they can sell more there. And then, yeah. So, and that's always a big success for us. My mom and Jonas and all of them, they work really hard to make that a success. It's fun time too. Long evening with fun. I know what you're thinking. Read. Okay. Romans 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I won't take any time on this, but the next time somebody tells you, well, show me in the Bible where that's wrong, just give them this scripture. It may not be wrong, but it probably ain't beneficial to you. It might not help you at all. Everything shouldn't have to be just right or wrong. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them, well, really what that means is, you know, if somebody serves you something that you might consider unclean, eat it anyway. For peace's sake. You ain't going to die. I've eaten in filthy homes and cat-infested homes. Say no more. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. I want to preach to you on something I felt like the Lord impressed upon me this morning. And it's going to be kind of difficult to preach on, but I want to preach to you on the topic, follow me. And you go ahead and pray for us.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to speak through our shepherd tonight. Lord Jesus, we ask you to give him your voice, that all people hear, all people see and experience is what you want them to in this service tonight. God, let him be able to disappear so far into your presence, God, that it all be about you and not about him or anybody else in this building, but what you want and your will tonight in Jesus' name. Let us leave here encouraged and strengthened in the Holy Ghost and uplifted. God, even if we didn't come in that way, in Jesus' name, God, do a work tonight. We believe in him. We call on you for your will in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. You stood a long time. Thank you. In this particular text, the Apostle Paul is addressing what we will dub the divisions and the abuses of the church. Division in the Corinthian church is nothing new. It's very obvious from the very onset of the first epistle. But the abuses really were abuses of liberty. When you get into the very next text I'm going to read, you'll understand that just a little more. Or actually, yeah, the next chapter, very first verse, which really is a continuation of the epistle. It was just partitioned up, if you please, for our benefit and for our edification. And so the next verse after that is, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So there were a lot of things that Paul addressed in this text. You know, there was opinions on what should and should not be eaten, and this is not good, and this was offered unto idols, and we shouldn't eat that, And he began by saying, you know, don't do things for your own benefit, but do it for the benefit of others. That should always be our mindset. So when you read on just shortly after that, in essence, he was saying, okay, if you're sitting at somebody's house and they offer you food and you think it's unclean, don't worry about yourself. Do it for their benefit. Be a good neighbor, if you please. Be a good steward. Be a good sport. You won't die. Maybe you'll get sick, but you'll be all right in the end. And if you die, it was all for the glory of God. And in that next text, after he shares all of these things that he shares, verse 33, is I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Oh, Lord, I could talk about the Easter Bunny right now. My good. If you don't like the Easter Bunny, it's going to be here on Sunday. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for somebody else. Now, I just threw that in. It didn't cost you anything. I don't think there's any little kids here, so just, it's not the real Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny's not real. And Paul said, be followers of me. Look at my example. Watch how I react to these situations. And do what I do. Don't be afraid to trust my leadership, to trust my judgment. One of my regular repetitive prayers that I've become more emphatic about is, God, help me to lead these churches through these last hours of time. Give me the wisdom. Are you with me? Give me the knowledge. Give me the guidance so I then can distribute that guidance. Help me, because I believe with all of my heart that there is zero question that we are reaching the end of this life. And so to me, from my perspective, how we walk and where we walk is more critical than ever before. We see the adversary and we see the chaos that he's sowing in the world and sowing into society. We see the divisions. We see the condoning of all unrighteousness and immorality in the name of tolerance. And we see how they have attacked anybody that would stand for anything that's right. Call you a bigot, call you a hater, call you this, call you that. We couldn't even have these yahoos from the state close down Route 6. They put a sign because a power line come down right in front of the church. So they put a sign about 50 feet to the east of it. So where do you think all of Route 6 traffic was trying to go? Through our parking lot. Well, the gate was locked and closed on this side, as it always is. They were madder than hornets. Brother Jerome showed up at the wrong moment to get his car. They were yelling at him to open the gate. The lineman out there told him, you're not even a Christian if you won't open that gate. And said, I ain't got nothing else to say to you. And put his hand up and walked away. Did you make a complaint? You better believe I did. And I told him it might have been racially motivated too. I knew I'd get their attention then. And it might have been. You can't even lock your gate without somebody accusing you of being phony and fake. It's a wicked, wicked world that we live in. And I really believe that it's much more critical on how we walk through this life than ever before. I don't think we have to be worried. I don't think we have to be fearful, but I think we've got to be wise. And the problem is, so many people have adopted a position of I don't need somebody else. And that translated means I don't trust anybody. That doesn't work in the church. The church is built on a system. It's built on trust. I've said many times, and I'll say it again, people didn't just start making their way out of Egypt. They didn't get together and say, hey, If we get a couple hundred thousand of us, they can't stop us from leaving. No, they stayed in bondage until God sent a man. They cried out to God by reason of their afflictions. And God didn't come to them and he didn't say, all right, guys, well, you're more and you're mightier. Just come on out. No, he sent a deliverer according to the word of God. He sent a man to lead them. Why? Because there's just something about our mind. For some reason, it just seems like we do better when we have a leader. Our world is leaderless now, and that's what's happening to our world. The system of leadership that was set up within our government has become a system of inner fighting and bickering and attacking, and it's non-functional. And so we lack leadership in our country. And it's obvious because our country is peeling apart, stitch by stitch, seam by seam. It has now affected the church. I watched a video of a lesbian pastor, transgender, that walked up to the pulpit and began to eviscerate people and compared her journey to the journey of Christ. That's going on in more churches than what you would imagine. They're leadershipless is the problem. The problem is they don't have the voice of a prophet in their midst. And those that do probably wouldn't listen to it anyway. We can see throughout the scripture how well received many prophets were, and all the more less when the prophet was in his own land, in his own territory. As Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. And so it would go without saying, in my humble opinion, that it is critical that we have leadership now more than ever. It's critical that the church have leadership that's stronger than it's ever been before. And it's critical that the church build up and prop up that leadership. And we understand the role of leadership. I'm not preaching for myself. I'm preaching for the safety and the security and the stability of the church. So as we journey through these turbulent waters and as we journey through this desert of our own making sometimes as we make our way into eternity, we need somebody that can lead us and can speak to us and somebody that can correct us. I read the text that I read to you because Paul was trying to reassert his leadership in a church that lacked leadership. That's why the Corinthian church had so many problems. That's why they didn't understand the gifts of the Spirit. They didn't understand tongues at all. They were mistaking personal tongues for the gift of prophecy of tongues. That's why Paul wrote chapter 14. There was confusion everywhere. There was inner fighting. There was bickering. There was division. Paul addressed it in the very opening of his first epistle. And so here he comes. And he's trying to impart some leadership. Oh, the Holy Ghost, I wish it helped. He's trying to impart some leadership in their midst. And he says then to them, follow me. You can trust me. Now, when I say that, I feel in the spirit people cringe. Because we wrestle. We wrestle with our ability to trust. We look at everything through the same lens. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. If a man hurt you, you look at all men, especially if you're a female. If a man was abusive towards you, you look at all men in that same lens. It will be rare, even when you get married, you'll look at your husband the same way. You'll love him, but you'll love him at an arm's length. If a man was cheated on by his spouse, he'll look at everyone with crooked eyes. Satan has caused so much distrust and so much confusion and so much uncertainty and so much doubt. The church has got to wake up and the church has got to rise up and understand the answer to our hour is leadership. The answer to our hour is God-ordained leadership. It's the structure, the system that God put in place in order to lead the church through this hour. And so as I pray, Lord, give me the wisdom to lead our church through these final days. And I feel so passionately about that. I worry that so many have completely adopted the position of, I don't trust anybody. You go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to dispel a rumor very quickly. That is not talking about being born again at all. Now, I've studied this stuff out. And when you look at those words, they are derived from a Greek word that literally means to be delivered. That's the same word that was used when God sent Moses to deliver Israel. They cried unto the Lord, he sent a deliverer. When we cry unto the Lord, he sends a deliverer. At some point in your life, you are talking to the Lord, you are praying, you are getting a hold of God, and God began to direct your steps to where he needed you to be, to put you under the leadership of the one that he needed to lead. That's the way God works. That's the way God, why? You go tell me God can't. I don't know why we don't. I don't know why he doesn't. I don't know why the Bible's not built that way, but it's not. That doesn't mean you can. It doesn't mean you're dumb. It doesn't mean you're not a leader yourself. But everybody's got to be led by somebody. Everybody. You're not getting me. You're not getting me. Everybody needs somebody to tell them, hey, that's good, or hey, that's not. Everybody needs someone to say, hey, this is dangerous territory. Everybody needs somebody that will come and step into their life at some time and prophesy to them, and they'll receive that. Not just ignore it, not just remember what was said and continue to do the same stuff. I've been a part of that. God has used me to prophesy into people's lives. And I've watched people just completely reject and ignore the words that were spoken. They heard them, but they didn't listen with their spiritual ears. They only listen with their carnal ears. And then when all is said and done, when we don't listen, we wind up hurt. We wind up condoning, and we wind up accepting the things we vowed we'd never accept. And so in this text, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means when you call upon the Lord, he'll begin the deliverance process in your life. That word does not have anything to do with what it means to be born again. Listen to me. Prove me wrong and show me in the book. Jesus taught about what it means to be born again. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, not to the sinners at Rome. He's not doing a Bible study with the prisoners in the prison of Rome. Paul is speaking to the church. He's addressing faith with the church. So he goes on to say, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? So you cannot call upon a God that you don't believe in. Now, our definition of believing in Jesus is different than what true believing in the Lord is. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? He didn't say they can go teach themselves, they can preach themselves. He said, how shall they hear? And then he said, how shall they preach except they be sent? I know you know the text, but I wanted to bring it to your attention again tonight. He was saying, you can't just go and preach. God has got to anoint you and ordain you to preach. You can't just go and grab a Bible. God has to commission you to go preach the gospel. And too many people have hurt themselves by trying to step into territory that they weren't ordained to do. It would be like if Peter stepped out of the boat. He said, Lord, if it's you bid me to come, and the Lord just says silent. He goes, well, I'm going to come to you anyway. You see, leadership. Leadership. He goes on. Let me read a couple more verses to you. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who hath believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You want to build your faith up? Let the preacher preach. You want God to cause your faith to grow? Submit yourself to the preached word of God. And don't just reject what you don't like, but eat the stuff you don't want. It'll build your faith, and God will give you the tools that you need to get through this world and through this life. I've heard a couple people have emailed me. People are just very, people are emotionally charged now, and schools have become really tough. And I have people email me, just a couple, handful. And I don't think you take my kids' safety safe enough, serious enough. And I'm reading, I'm sitting there thinking, nope, you're right. I don't care if my own kids go to school and get killed. Yeah, I don't take it seriously. Not like I don't have kids in the school system too. You're right. Means nothing to me. Means everything to me. And I forgot why I was telling you that story, but I'll come back to it. Because there was a reason. So, I'll get back to it. You cannot follow if you cannot trust. You cannot trust if you don't let God build your faith. If you won't trust, you cannot grow into the fullness of what God purposes in your life. He connects us like DNA, and He uses us to build each other up. Are you saying that I can't serve God without a pastor? Not at all. Not at all. But I am telling you, you won't grow without one. And I am telling you, you're going to take a wrong turn somewhere in your life without one. And I am telling you that without one, you're probably going to wind up hurt and bitter at God without one. I am telling you, when you don't want the preaching, that's when you need the preaching the most in your life, because the preaching is designed to pull us out of our thinking. It's designed to correct our course. That's what the preaching is about. That's what leadership is about. That's how God designed the church to operate. And so what do we need to do? We got to have faith. We got to build our faith. But faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. By a foolish nation I will anger you. He said, they heard, they've had it, they've been privy to it, but they chose not to accept it. I really believe with all of my heart, there is one thing we've got to focus on in our generation, it's leadership. I really believe that we need young men and young women, and I don't mean necessarily based off of your age, spiritual, literal, however you want to view it, that will rise up and that will lead. But you can't lead until you'll follow. You can't teach until you'll be taught. You can't preach faith until you let faith be preached unto you. This is not a message of critique. It's a message, it's a reminder to remind us that we are on a journey from here into glory. And if we're going to make that journey, we need to understand the importance of leadership. And if we look at leadership throughout the scripture, great men and great women that led, they weren't puppets. They weren't leading so they could get more votes or for popular opinion. I know what I was going to say, I think. So I emailed this last gentleman back. I said, listen, all due respect, sir. I said, I have been chewed up online. I've had lies and rumors spread about me. I don't address, have no interest in trying to address it because it just becomes mayhem and chaos. I assure you that I'm not in this thing for the measly $125 a meeting. I wouldn't subject myself to this torture if that was the reason I was in it. I'm in it because of our kids. I'm in it because I believe the schools need leadership. Are you saying you're the answer? Nope, but I'm saying I'm willing to try to be. And I'm saying that we need people that will rise up and lead, and people that will sacrifice to lead. We need the church needs people that will not be drawn and driven by worldly ambition and worldly success. And that can't be everybody, I know. But it needs people that will say, I will step up and I will lead through my actions. I'll lead by submitting myself. I'll lead by trusting in the Lord. And I'll lead by trusting in leadership. That's what I'll do. Never in Scripture did God not utilize men to lead or to address or to minister or to reprove His church. We need leadership. We need to pray for leadership. Leadership, I will tell you, and I hope I'm not boring you. It is a cross that you never know how heavy it is. And I'm not talking about myself per se until you carry it. We talk often, and I don't think we have this problem in our church, but most younger men, they see the glamour of the pulpit, but they don't see the cross that stands behind it. And leadership, when you look at the home, just the home, most of our homes in America lack leadership. How can you say that? Because we've got husbands walking out on wives, wives walking out on husbands, fathers walking out on their children, mothers walking out on their children. We've got people, rather than stay home and be a parent like they wanted to be when they had that child, they'd rather go out and party with their friends and their girlfriends and their guy friends and shake it up and grind up and act like a bimbo and a fool rather than stay home and lead your family. If you're going to have children, you have just sacrificed your life. Thank you, I will. Every mother understands what it takes to be a mother. And I got to be honest with you, I can't wait for my Mother's Day message because God's given me something good. And I want to heap all kind of praise on our mothers. But mothers know. I've said here many times, and I have no shame saying it. My wife, they're puking. She's running towards them. I'm heading the other direction. Truth, can't do it. When they were babies and still with Colin, she's wiping those big boogers out of their nose. Not me. I walk through the daycare and I see all those big green snots during snotty season, and I put blinders on and I run. Not me. But mothers understand the leadership that is required to be a mother. You give all of yourself. If they don't sleep, you don't sleep. That's leading the home. I'm going to say this because I feel like I have the liberty to say it. Oh, I don't want, listen to me, please do me a favor. I don't want to make enemies today. I'm really not trying to do that. But just let me be honest for a second. And everybody goes through stages in life. And if your kids are grown, then, you know, I respect that completely. And, you know, I'm not telling you, you know, you go home and just sit there and wait for your husband to get home and cook him a meal. I'm not saying that at all. But the Lord gave me a message years ago that I want to preach sometime. I still got it in my iPad. It's titled, The Kitchen is Closed. It's really quiet. I need some help up here. There was a time in our world, and I'm not being critical, I'm just going to speak openly and honestly for a second, when mothers treasured taking care of their homes and their families. Now, I'm not blaming you, Mom, so don't get all, I feel the heat, boy. It's just like you feel like hell is coming up out of the ground. We have been conditioned and conditioned and conditioned and conditioned that if you're going to be successful, you got to, I'll use my words, abandon your family and go into the workforce. You see, it's become so prominent in our society to even talk about it will get you crucified. I'm used to it. But listen to me. If you just hear me before you get offended at me, Our church, our homes need leadership. Leadership. Our children need their mothers to lead them. Our mothers need their husbands to lead them. There must be leadership in the home. Leadership, leadership. We cannot abandon our responsibility as leaders of our home in pursuit of career. Nobody else will tell you that. But I'm going to tell you that. I'm not saying you can't work. I'm not saying you got to stay home and put an apron on. But what I am saying is what I am saying. And you let God deal with you however God needs to deal with you. Hey, watch this. Are we okay? I might need you to stand up here and sit with me, Kenny. I might get rushed in a minute. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Just stay right there. Just stay close. Where's Dan at? I know he's packing. Can I tell you this? Moms are going to get upset at me. I mean, whatever. Pastoring is like being a mother. It is. Because you give up your ambitions, your career, your wants, your desires for your church. You want to run, but you can't because you know you have responsibility. Most mothers are that way. Very few mothers, other than the kooky quacky cities, very few mothers will abandon their children, but it happens. It happens a lot. But most mothers, no matter how much they want to run, they know, I can't run. I have a family that depends upon me. I have children that depend upon me. In some cases, I have a husband that depends upon me. Pastoring is the same way. So what I'm saying to you, and I know you're not going to believe me, I know there's differences, but pastoring is a lot like being a mother. So you see, I do understand a little bit what I'm talking about. I really do. It would be no different if I abdicated my role as a pastor. Could you survive? Sure you could. Could God send somebody else? Absolutely. There are step-parents all over this world. Is a step-parent the same as the real? It's not. And I really got it upset. I really got y'all upset at me now. Hey, I grew up with a step-parent. I understand. And I understand some step-parents have stepped in to fill roles that wasn't theirs to fill. I appreciate that. I respect. Man, I've got it. Ooh, it's gotten real hot. You may have to come up and play for me. It's gotten really, really deep. Am I speaking the truth? Okay, let me say it this way before y'all get all worked up. My real dad was an alcoholic who I'd never met, never knew. Left me in a bar, wound up in a foster home. You know the story. Does that mean that there's not something inside of me that still wants to know who he was? No. Does that mean if I had the greatest stepfather in the world, I would forget about wondering who my real father is? No. What I'm saying is we step in roles. We fill them. I preach it. We should. But it's still not, it'll never be the same. Yeah, it got really deep now. I'm trying to tell you that our world needs leadership. I'm trying to tell you homes need leadership. I'm trying to say that we need men that will maintain their role as the leader of the home. We need mothers that will maintain their role as the mother of their home. We need pastors that will maintain their role as the shepherd of the flock. And we've got pastors all over this world abdicating their roles. Come play for me, honey, if you would. Because I done got everybody offended now. Now we ain't got nobody here on Sunday. Took me a couple years before I understood the difference between holding the title pastor and being a pastor. Took me more than a couple years. Took me a lot of years. Took a while before I understood that the responsibility of pastoring was a whole lot greater than really the role or the title itself. Took me years before I understood how critical the leadership of being a pastor was. Now, I didn't say I've always done it all right, but I begin to understand how critical it is. Are you with me? If nothing else, you got to love me still. It's biblical. Thank you, Sister Susan. I appreciate it. I understood it was so much bigger than what you can see. It was so much bigger than any sermon that you ever preach. So much bigger than your top tithe payers in the church. It was so much bigger than just filling seats. That really it amounted to consistent, strong leadership. Did I feel adequate for the role? Negative. Do I steal many days? Not so much. But I'll give it my all because I believe what rests upon the shoulders of every great leader is our future. I believe the future of the church is being challenged by challenging leadership. We're putting inadequate and ineffective people at the pulpit. Now, let me clarify my step-parent comment for some of you that you might want to cancel your tithing check. When you hear a tragic story of somebody who beat their child or their infant to death, it's rarely the real parent. It's normally somebody who does not have that biological connection. The fact is, and this is not, because listen, I'd be a great step-parent. I'd love to be a step-parent. I'd love to take a child off the street and be a parent too. But even if God ever lets me fill that role, they're still always going to wonder about the real parent, no matter how bad they might have been. But the fact is, when you don't have that connection, it's easier for you to mistreat the one that's not yours. I've watched people do it. We had a family when we grew up. They had a foster daughter. They treated this little girl horribly. Horribly. Treated her like she was a second-rate trash bin. Really. Always demeaning her, always yelling at her, always punishing her. Wouldn't let her in the room a lot of times with the rest of the family. Horrible. That's not leadership. Let me try and redeem myself. If you are a step-parent, then be a leader to them. Lead them. Love them like they are your own. Because our world lacks leadership. Our children lack leadership. Our schools, our government, it lacks leadership everywhere that you turn because we're not the same nation we were. You know why? Because we're not a God-fearing nation anymore. We're not a nation that puts God first in everything. It's not reasonable to expect that we could possibly know the ground that we have never traveled. When you talk about leadership, especially within the church, it's critical that we understand that God uses people to guide and to direct and to impart and to warn and to caution. What I'm saying is it's not possible for you to get through this journey of life all on your own because you can't possibly know what tomorrow holds. I told somebody the other day, I said, the sad part about getting older is you can look back and you can see where other people are going wrong because you've traveled this little road that's called experience in life. And so it becomes clearer and easier. And I can look back and I can say, hey, don't go there. Hey, don't walk that way. Hey, stay away from that cliff. But when you're back there, you're saying, yeah, I know. I don't need somebody always looking over my shoulder. I know. What do you think? I'm not capable? Am I? What do you think? I'm dumb? Am I below you? No. I'm just saying that I've traveled a road that you haven't. And I'm saying that I look to peers who've traveled a road that I haven't. And so leadership is able to get us through those perilous times. Leadership is able to guide us through uncharted territory. That's why God gave Noah all of the instructions for the ark. Because he'd never built a boat. He'd never been through a flood. He could have done a semi-adequate job, but he might have been able to put something together that would have semi-floated. And maybe it wouldn't have, but God said, You don't know what's ahead of you, Noah, and I do. So I'm going to tell you how to build this boat. I don't need no one to tell me. I can build a boat all by myself. I can get on YouTube, and YouTube will tell me how to build a boat.
I feel like I've lost you.
What time is it? Have I gone too long? I have. So the answer is, Lord, help me. Let him come back on Sunday. The answer is complete and total blind faith. The answer is complete and total humility. The answer is closing your eyes and saying, lead me, Lord. I will follow. Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, follow me. You can trust me. I'll help right this wrong. I'll help the ship stay afloat. I want to teach you some of the things that I see that's going wrong in your church. I want to show you the things that I can see. When you're a pastor, it's easier to walk into another church and see the issues. Sometimes when you're stuck in it, you can't always see it. So you can go to another church and you're like, oh my God, oh God, what do they got going on here? I'm sure people have said it here. Paul was saying, I can see what you can't see. If you just trust me, if you just follow me, I won't steer you wrong. I'm following the Lord. Be rest assured in that. I'm not just blindly going somewhere and telling you to follow me. I've sought God. I have prayed. I have fasted. I have humbly petitioned the Lord for direction and guidance. Do you know what I'm saying to you? I know I got to stop, and I'm trying to wrap it up. I'm saying to you, for whatever it's worth and however it fits and wherever it lands in your life and whatever era of your future it's going to fall in, I'm just saying, just follow me. Follow me. I'm just saying, we're going to get through this thing together, but we've got to trust each other. We've got to trust the people that God. And that same goes for me. I will always have men that I call, always have men that I listen to. When they elected me to the district board, I called up Bishop Ellis because he was on the board. And I said, okay. I said, here's what happened. I said, I'm like really, really, really nervous. And I'm like sick to my stomach. And he said, well, that's good. You should be. And I said, well, okay. Well, it makes me feel better because I know you've been there. And then he began to tell me some of the things. And I was enlightened in my first meeting. But he had prepared me because he had been there and he had done that. And so it wasn't such a blow, I would have quit the first meeting. I'm not making it up. I almost walked out. I said, what in God's name have I gotten myself into? So who do you think I call when I have questions? Him. I'm in my third year now. It's not as bad as it was. I can see a little bit better than what I could in the beginning. But when you step into uncharted territory, there's just nothing like it. It's good to have a shoulder to lean on. It's good to have somebody to call, pick up the phone. It's good to have someone tell me, all right, this is what's going to happen. I tell people, no, I try to warn people. When you come to the Lord, you get baptized, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be led up in the wilderness for 40 days and tempted of the devil. You make a commitment to the Lord and you get serious about serving God, let me tell you what's going to happen. Life might get real tough for a season. Everything in the world may come against you at one time. You may question yourself 1,000 times that you made the right decision. Why? Because I've been there and I can see that and I understand it. And so you would serve yourself well, I'm trying to close, by trusting that. Follow. And then you can lead somebody else. There will come a day. I'm done. But I sit in my office a lot. And I think, someday, I won't occupy this office anymore. You know what that tells me? That I want to make sure the next person that does is a leader. He's not a position, he's not a position hawk. He's not just looking for a title, but he's a leader. He's willing to sacrifice blood, sweat, and tears. Where's that, I sent this to Brother Rodney, I think. I sent it to you or you and your wife. Maybe I should just call you Ronald. That's what I did the first time he baptized you, huh? I want to read this to you. And I'm done. I'm sorry. I went long. You're hungry. I know. I've offended half the people here. So I've seen a pastor. He submitted this on social media. And it was I'd never seen anything. It was written as better than I've ever heard it said. He said, I cringe when I meet young men just starting out in ministry who think that what awaits them is glory, prestige, honor, and blessing. The work of God is a death sentence. It's designed to destroy me. It is intended to break my ego. Its purpose to crucify my flesh. It is to set up to kill my need to impress or control others. It's more of a wine press than a picnic. It's an occupational hazard. You will face lit torches accompanied by pitchforks many times if you approach it correctly. Most of those will not come from the lost, but the religious world. It all keeps Christ as the center. It all pulls away from me and toward him. The merging of anointing with God-given insight will invite attacks beyond human reasoning. In his ministry, rely on him. True ministry will experience conflict, rejection, jealousy, misunderstanding, loneliness, and self-doubt. If you endure, resurrection life awaits you. You say, is that biblical? What do you mean, is it biblical? If they hated me, they'll hate you. Signed, Jesus Christ. Rejoice in tribulation. Signed, Apostle Paul. The list goes on. What am I saying to you? But leadership, true leadership will endure every test of time. I've gone too long, I know. True leadership will endure every trial. True leadership will stand by you when everybody else walks away from you. True leadership will stand by their convictions and their principles when the rest of the world is abandoning them. I'm not suggesting to you that I am the apple of leadership's eye, but I am just telling you this, that my goal is to lead this church through this God-forsaken generation into eternity. It's serious to me. It's the most important thing in the world to me. And if you will just trust me and follow me, I promise you that we will get where God is taking us as a church. Would you please stand with me? I'm so sorry because I have gone too long. You try to preach this message. See, true leadership, you'll speak the truth. It was done in love, just for the record. Even knowing that, man, somebody might cut you on the way out the church. It's the truth, Sue. I don't know really where this settles today. I don't know really where it falls. I don't really know why I felt impressed of the Lord to preach it. Maybe you know. If you do, send me a text and tell me. It might make me feel a little better. But I do know this. The church needs leadership. The homes need leadership. Our world needs leadership. The kingdom of God needs leadership. I just want to pray, if you'd pray with me. Father, you alone know, Lord, what you have purposed to do in this place tonight. God, I tried to be a good leader, and I feel like I've stepped out into the miry clay. But I know these precious people love, Father, truth. And I know, Lord Jesus, that you have a purpose to everything under the sun. And I know, Lord, that you can even take our failures and you can turn them into triumphs, God, for your glory. I pray that this church would not only send forth leaders, God, but that this church would grow people, that this church would train leaders that would stand the test of time. I pray those that will come up after me, God, will be bold, because the world's going to be more evil when I'm done and they're taking up the mantle, God. They'll need to be leaders, God. I pray that that spirit of leadership that your disciples walked with would be imparted upon each one of them, God, that we'll lead our homes with morality. We'll lead our homes with godliness. We'll lead our homes with prayer. We'll lead our homes with fasting. We'll lead our homes by denying our flesh and putting first the kingdom, putting first our families, our homes. I pray that you would let this settle, God, where you intended to settle in each and every person's life. If I've said anything that's been wrong, Lord, I apologize. And I pray that forgiveness would be mine. But I pray, Jesus, that the spirit of leadership, God, would never leave us as a congregation, Lord. Lord, that we would lead, God, with character and integrity. That we will not sacrifice our morals or our values on the altar of advancement. God, that we'll not sacrifice our homes on the promise of more money. God, but we will lead and we will seek you out in every decision that we make. We'll call upon the Lord in every decision that we make, God, that we would all be leaders. That we could say to somebody else, follow me, and they will feel comfortable and confident in doing that. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you. want to say one more thing. You would have to, over the last 20 years, watch people that you placed in leadership fail the people they served. You'd have to be the one who you put in leadership and you ask people to trust them, and then they abuse the trust of the people you asked to trust them in the first place. Men in moral failure. Women in moral failure. And you get to a point, you don't want to see that anymore. Because when those things happen, it's the church that hurts. It's the church that hurts. When I say the things I say, it's not for me or my benefit. It's for the benefit of our families and our church body and our homes and our relationship. You'd have to be me when over the years, hundreds of women come to you and ask you to help them with their husbands because their husbands won't leave their homes. And vice versa in many cases. I'm going to say to the single mothers, we want to beat our chest and say we're the heroes of society. I don't know, I really fully agree with that, but I'll say this. Then be a hero in your home. Then lead through your actions. Lead through your decisions. Lead by remaining godly, by following the word of God in everything that you do. Lead them. Is that okay? Lead your homes. We've got too many children suffering. We got too many children that are going off the deep end because they don't know how to function because they've lacked leadership. Well, who wants to pray? You want to pray for us? No? Huh? You're with us? Thank you. Brother Drone, before we sing another song, I want you to pray. I'm getting my confirmation. I asked Sister Angel, I said, how deep was I? She said, deep. I went to Drone, I said, how deep was I? He said, deep. So let's pray that God will pull me out of the muck and the miry clay before we leave this building. But pray for leadership, and then we'll sing one more time. Thank you for your patience. It's been a long night. I apologize.
Lord, we're thankful for the leadership, and I pray, God, over each and every person. Lord, no matter how deep the message may be, God, I pray, Lord, God, that it would be with us as we leave this place, God. And wherever it touched us, God, it stomped on our toes, Lord, and reared up in us, God. I pray, Lord, that we can leave this place with this word in our mind, always reminding us, Lord, of the leadership, God, to be leaders, Lord, of our homes, leaders in our workplace, leaders in our schools, God, and continue to strengthen those, God, that lead the church, God. Uplift them, Lord. Don't know what they go through, what's on their mind every day, God. But I pray, Lord, for a healing touch of your mind, God, that you would continue to uplift and strengthen them, God. And I pray over each and every person in here, Lord, in Jesus' name, God.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, Lord. Wonder, I still will follow, though I may wander, I still will follow. I still will follow. no turning back. Will you decide? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back.
Have someone testify. You can go whenever you got to go. My wife said, she goes, I don't know why that was deep at all. She said, I don't think it was deep. I went back to Sister Pat and I want her to tell you what she said to me.
I have to tell you, especially if you're young and you're getting married or you're just starting out. When I got married 50 years ago, it was during the late 60s and the early 70s. Women's liberation was plastered on every single wall of the campus of Kent State University where my husband and I went. Women's lib was everything. And the almighty dollar was taught to every man that you are to climb the social economic ladder. So those were the two values. Even though we had both been in church most of our lives, those were the two values that faced us when we were in college. And when we got out of college, because we were deceived, we were not in a Pentecostal church at all. I was Methodist, he was Baptist. That deception ran so deep that I had my children. I left them with babysitters practically from the day of birth. That is not the way to raise children. The mother needs to be in the home. And I regret that now. And we pay consequences because that didn't happen. So let me tell you, if you're thinking of having kids, stay home with a mom at least for the first, 10 years. They need that. They need that. And that's my testimony. You will pay consequences if you do not do that. You will have emotionally damaged children or children that are away from the church that never go to church because, you know, they didn't have that leadership of parents that knew the truth that Pastor Arderi preached tonight. So take it to heart. He's preached every word tonight was the truth. Lead in humility. And I thank you.
Thank you for making yourself vulnerable and sharing that. She didn't tell me all of that at all. So I want to know, it's all right. Again, if you got to go, you can go. Is there anybody else that feels like you want to tell?